We all kind of like to believe that we live in this kind of safe haven where bike theft is the only crime, you know, but people are hurting each other.
Locals stand up against domestic violence and a list of changes ahead for the Haynesboro staff. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That much and more up next. The State Ferry Leconte is back in service. An unidentified mechanical problem sidelined the vessel Tuesday, forcing the cancellation of its scheduled round trip between Juneau and Haines. Technicians worked overnight to fix the issue. The Leconte departed Juneau for Haines at about 7 a.m. Wednesday. The latest reapportionment plan makes no changes to the Southeast Alaska election district boundaries. The Alaska Redistricting Board released the plan Tuesday evening. It responds to a recent state Supreme Court ruling saying the board put too much emphasis on protecting Native-influenced districts. The court said the board should pay more attention to state constitutional requirements. Taylor Bickford is executive director of the Redistricting Board.
There was an influence district that was built in Southeast, but the board never claimed and the court never found that the board's drawing of an influence district in Southeast led to violations of the Alaska Constitution.
Like the old map, the new plan still separates Haines and Skagway into separate districts. Haines is included in the Native Strong Voting District, and Skagway was lumped into a non-contiguous district, partly due to its lower Native population. The new plan changes boundaries of some interior election districts. Petersburg officials hoped for new boundaries closer to its current legislative district, which includes Wrangell and Sitka. The new plan combines Petersburg, downtown Juneau, and Skagway. Al Dwyer is Petersburg's mayor.
We don't think that Juneau is similar in any way to Petersburg or a fishing community. I mean, it has a processor there, but it's not considered a fishing community. It's a tourist community. And government.
Petersburg sued to change last year's plan. Dwyer says the Supreme Court ruling creates another opportunity, depending on the cost. The redistricting board is scheduled to meet through Saturday. Bickford says it should finish its work by then. We have links to the new map on our website. Former Skagway Police Chief Dave Sexton will lead the group in charge of certifying and decertifying all the sworn police officers in Alaska. Sexton, who has about 30 years' experience in law enforcement, started as executive director of the Police Standards Council earlier this year. The group signs the certificates required by every officer in the state and is in charge of providing training to maintain industry standards. He says a personal goal of his is providing more training and opportunities to smaller departments in the bush and in outlying communities in the villages in Southeast. Sexton was Skagway Chief of Police for about 11 years and retired in 1999. There are about 3,000 sworn officers and administrators in the state. Sexton says almost 100 are certified each year after completing one of the two academies in the state. He added his signature indicates to a community that their officer is well-trained and able to be trusted. It also says to the officer that they are prepared to do their job. One of the names he'll soon have in front of him is Haines Adam Patterson, who's currently in training in Fairbanks to become the next Haines police officer. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe says Patterson is expected to start around mid-May after he graduates from training. There are four other borough positions that are to be determined in the next few months. Borough Manager Mark Ernest offered his resignation to the Borough Assembly at Tuesday night's regular meeting. He had originally planned to leave the position in about one more year, but revised that date to mid-June.
I have submitted my intent of resignation, and the of course, the question that's been asked is why, and I just wanted to really just clarify and say that I fully intended to retire in 2013, and I just felt that I really wanted to spend more time with family So I'm just accelerating that retirement date of a year. And I wanted to say how much I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy serving all of you and the community. It's been an honor and a privilege. This is a great community and it has so much to offer, and I think a lot to look forward to in the future. And I very much cherish the opportunity to be part of that.
The Assembly accepted Ernest's resignation with a motion and passed another motion directing staff to follow the same recruitment procedure that led to his hire. The borough is working on a plan for the transition. Director of Public Facilities Brian Lemke recently submitted his resignation to the borough. Lemke also owns Haynes Fog Cutter Bar and says he'll work on running that business. Lemke was hired last summer to manage the borough's facilities after serving as interim director and formerly serving as project manager for the new Haynes School construction. Former harbormaster Phil Benner is back in Haynes, filling in as interim harbormaster on a contract basis until a new harbormaster is hired. Current harbormaster Ed Barrett submitted his resignation to the borough. The job is posted at the borough website and closes Thursday. Finally, hiring for the recently approved position of executive assistant to the borough manager is postponed indefinitely, says borough clerk Julie Causey. With manager Ernest's resignation, the borough will leave the status of the position up to the next borough manager. The Northern Panhandle is choosing respect and bringing awareness to domestic violence this month with marches in the Chilkat Valley and Skagway. Skagway's march is coming up on Thursday to follow many others around the state.
We definitely have a problem with domestic violence. It's almost an epidemic proportion.
Jackie Mishakis is domestic violence health educator for Haynes, Clockwan, and Skagway. She says the issue is a problem in Alaska.
And it's a subject that is not discussed easily. It's many times people have difficulty even bringing it to the surface. So I think we're starting at the very baseline, bringing in awareness that it does exist. If we can't acknowledge there's a problem, there's no way to fix it and to help.
The marches are happening all over Alaska this month to bring the silent subject out in the open. Governor Sean Parnell issued an initiative asking all Alaska communities to take one day in March to hold a gathering to bring awareness to domestic violence and sexual assault. Haynes and Clockwan held their events earlier this month. Skagway's is Thursday at noon. Ashley Bowman is one of the organizers, but she's also a former victim of domestic violence and sexual assault. And that's what made the turnout of an earlier awareness event so disappointing to her.
There was a little get-together that was put together by John Hisher, who's our clinician here, to discuss topics of domestic violence and sexual assault, and I was the only person who showed up, so that was pretty discouraging to me. But then, you know, last year was the first year that we participated in this march, and there were 30 or 40-some-odd people, and I think that the way that raised awareness last year was just by getting people talking about it. Because, like you said, it's not something that people tend to talk about. And I think we all kind of like to believe that we live in this kind of safe haven where bike theft is the only crime, you know. But, you know, people are hurting each other, and it is something that a lot of times goes unreported.
The Skagway March is back for a second year, and it happens during your next lunch break. Anyone interested can meet at the National Park Service building at 2nd and Broadway at noon on Thursday. The group will have a banner and march to the Elks Club, where lunch awaits. Jeff Jones from the Governor's Office, Bowman, the Skagway Student Council, and Mayor Stan Selmer will present at the event.
What I noticed after the march last year was that, you know, in the hours following and in the days following, that people were really talking about it more, and it just opened up those lines of conversation because, you know, in our small towns, it's word of mouth is how a lot of messages get passed, whether it's, you know, a house for sale or whether it's an issue that needs to be talked about. So I think that's the main way that we're bringing awareness, is by opening up the conversation.
Mishakis agrees that the Lynn Canal is not excluded from the nationwide problem. She describes domestic violence as sometimes being generational, almost a way of life for some.
Many people have the mindset that it's physical, and there's so many different aspects to domestic violence that I'm just trying to bring an awareness to that goes under that umbrella. The emotional and the physical, the sexual, there's financial abuse. There is elder abuse, child abuse, even bullying can go under that heading. There's also, there is a small portion of men that are abused by women. So I think just to bring an awareness to all of it, it needs to be addressed. We need to start offering hope and help.
More information on local domestic violence and sexual assault resources is at Lynn Canal Counseling at 983-2548 or Jackie Mishakis' office at 766-6382.
We're just bringing awareness to it and saying it's time that we choose respect and we stand up and we say no more, that we're here to help. I think that's my biggest thing that I personally would like to convey, or our group would, is that victims have options. There is help and hope available, and to know that, and if they're ever ready to come out of that situation, that there's people here to help them through the steps.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and KTOO for their help with this report.